Now, I'm guessing, this is a guess, that that's probably not happening. What should people do about it? Should they just...
If they're not being discipled,
yeah,
you
yeah,
mean?
like, what should they, you know, from here, go home, you know, flick open the church directory and...
Well,
bring, you know, what are some... Because, you know, if that's like a gap within the church, you know, so, like, how do we ourselves address that,
yeah,
but how do we help other people?
Yeah. Right now I'm thinking of some... Paul talks to both the Corinthians and in the book of Hebrews. He rebukes them because they are babes or immature when they should be a lot more mature in their walk. So he's putting the responsibility of their growth on them. He's not actually saying, what the heck, you church leaders, what are you doing? Now, there could be a little bit of that, but actually, if you want to grow as a Christian, it's your responsibility. You know, you are responsible for your own spiritual growth. And so you actually have to be the one that's finding the people who you think are going to be helpful for you now, and not being shy and saying, hey, I want to meet up, I want to touch base on a regular basis. Because again, we're in such an individualistic church environment, and when we talk about becoming Christians, we often just think this is between me and God. I'm just doing my thing here with me and God, you know. But biblically, it just doesn't work like that at all. It's very much meshed into the whole body. And so if you're not being intentional about that, start being intentional. It's as simple as that. Find somebody who you can look up to and think, somebody that has some spiritual maturity. And it doesn't mean that you think that they're wonderful in every area, but there might be things about them that you just think, man, I'd really like to learn more about this from this person. And then there might be another person who you want to learn another something else from. It doesn't all have to come from one person. And I think that's been my experience. I've kind of tapped into different people at different times about different things, and still do that, you know. And I think that's a real... you've just got to be intentional. You either want to grow in Christ or you don't. And lots of people are like, oh, you're not pastoring me, Andrew. Get your act together. I don't know whether you say that, but not at least in earshot. But it's actually your own fault. Being honest. Take responsibility for your own Christian life, because when you stand before God, God is not going to say, ah, sorry, that was Andrew's fault. He's really mucked up with you. You should be a lot better than you are. You know, he's actually going to say, what have you done? You know, what have you done with what I've given you? And so I think you have to take responsibility for yourself.
I think too, Justin, within this young adults group, there is a pretty good culture, I guess, of discipling or mentoring or being mentored. And I think even me growing up, or your age, it was very much what Andrew said. It was like more of a role model. You just look at someone and you liked the way they did it and you took that on board yourself. There wasn't really any culture in our church in our day of small groups and stuff, but I guess of one-on-one dealing with your stuff and your issues. And that is just so huge. I think as young people, you've got quite an amazing opportunity right now to start to learn even how to deal with some of the things, how to become refined, honed, changed, metamorphosized. Quite like that word.
That's a new word. Never heard of it.
I don't know if you find it in the Bible, but hey. Yeah, I think that... I'm losing my train of thought now. You've just got a really, you've got a real good opportunity to do that. And I think too, as you learn to do that and you learn to do that well, then you take that into your families. You start teaching your kids, and the church culture slowly begins to change. It isn't something that the church has been intentional or done a good job with, I would say, in the past, from my own experience anyway. But I feel like even with this group before us, you've got quite an amazing opportunity to actually begin to change that culture. And you'd be surprised how even just learning about dealing with the stuff that is in your life and what to do with it, even when you don't want to, because you know God says to forgive and confess and all those other things that are not easy and are quite fearful and hard. But as you do that, you begin to see yourself really changing, you know, and then you can grasp that for yourself, and it's like, I know what to do now. You know, you do it, you can do it for yourself. You can disciple others into that. But then the culture of the church changes as everybody sort of begins to walk together and do that.
I really like the story. I'll just talk all day. I really like the story. I mean, we've been doing Elisha, and it's real cool how Elijah, get them right, I know, help me out here. Elijah kind of calls Elisha. He's kind of ploughing in a field and just throws a cloak over his back on his way past and keeps walking. That was it. Didn't say, there's no account that he said anything. And then Elisha kind of runs after Elijah and says, oi, what, something, oh, I can't remember what it is. He says something like, what's this all about? And Elijah just says, what have I done to you? And just keeps walking. And actually what happens is then Elisha obviously takes that there's something in this, not a lot of encouragement, eh? But there's something in this, so he goes and has a big party, slaughters his oxen, and then goes and follows him. And even at the end of Elijah's life, Elijah says to Elisha, you stay here, I'm going over yonder. And he goes, nah, I'm coming. Three times he tells him, you stay, and he's going, nah, I'm with you, I'm sticking. And so the responsibility was actually not with Elijah to kind of drag this guy along. It was actually up to Elisha to keep up. And I think we've got to kind of switch the way we see discipleship a little bit. And this is what I'm saying. It's our responsibility. If you want to grow, find somebody and start pestering them, you know, and you know, make everyone in this church so busy with people stuff that they get annoyed with you, you know. I mean, that's what we need to be doing, because I don't know, as Lee said, we weren't growing, we didn't have this culture. It's one of the reasons I really love Pathways, because they're really into the mentoring, the support, both academic ministry and spiritual mentors. And I think we just need that culture rebuilt into the church.
I think a big thing that ends up stopping us from wanting to be discipled is fear. We don't talk about our feelings in New Zealand. And I think we can be very scared to be vulnerable with somebody else. But it's so important, like even biologically, it's important that we process stuff that happens in our lives, and having someone that you trust and someone who's more mature in their faith to do that with is just such a huge blessing. I mean, like I did Pathways, and it was just having that person in my life was life-changing. And since then, I've been really intentional about having that type of person in my life, and it's changed a few times since I've been at Pathways, just moving around in different seasons and stuff. But having that person to trust, to know that if I had to call them at 3 o'clock in the morning, that they would pray with me or come to me or read the Bible with me. Yeah, it's just such a huge blessing. Yeah.
Not available at 3 o'clock in the morning, just so you know. Unless it's a very big emergency.
Very big. Jumping off what Hannah said, how has, you know, being discipled yourself, /discipling another person, the both and, how has those two ends of the same coin, how's that changed your life? Anyone can start.
I can start. It's funny that we were singing Oceans tonight because it felt very nostalgic because when I was living in Queenstown a few years ago, trying to figure out where my life was heading because, I wanted a career in radio and God had other plans. And I remember that song just being a huge blessing to me at the time, and that I was just really praying for what God had in store next for me. And what was next for me was Pathways. and so it's been quite a journey for the last 6 years, being discipled by some really incredible women who were not perfect, but they loved me where I was at and just really encouraged me and sat and read the Bible with me. And it's been an incredible journey and so much growth, a lot of really hard challenges, but having that person in your life to do that with makes things just that little bit easier as well. And I've mentored a lot of different people over the years. And it's such a mutual thing. Mm. Like, it's so encouraging to be, to see growth in somebody else as well, and to celebrate that with them. But to do that together is even cooler. Like, you just kind of learn off of each other, even though one of you might, have a few more years on you. I don't know. It's just been really cool. I'll just share a quick story. I went to Christchurch a couple of weekends ago for a wedding, and the girl who was getting married is one of my youth kids from when I lived in Queenstown. And it was really special because in her speech, like, she was kind of thanking different people in her life. And she, halfway through her speech, was like, "I'm just so grateful that a couple of my youth leaders are here. You have no idea what you, how much impact you had on my life." And I nearly cried because it's just really cool. Like, you don't hear that very often sometimes. And so for kind of 8 years down the track to hear someone that I had mentored a long time ago say, "You don't know how much of an impact you had on my life and my faith journey." So that's, it's really cool when you get to hear that kind of stuff too.
I think it's helping me to grow and mature. It gives me courage, I guess, to look at things in my own life. As people say stuff to you, you think, I got a little bit of that myself. And it's like, here they are sort of telling you, it's like, well, I better go away and deal with that now. there's lots of variations to it. I mean, I've seen a lot of God's provision even for me. There are days where I just don't even feel like I've got the capacity for people sometimes. But then afterwards, it's like, man, that was so good. God, I feel so much more strengthened and invigorated and ready to go again. And one of the things I've really seen for me personally, I do a lot of one-on-one mentoring. I just really see the gift of discernment growing in me. Like, I get really excited, actually, because there's just things that are said and shared, and I can just, there's things that I can, sometimes I can feel it, sometimes I speak it, and then I'll think, man, that's really good advice. Where did that come from, you know? And other times, there's just this this knowing. I don't know. It's just, and I really feel, I can really see God growing my discernment, you know, from even when I started. I'm quite aware of that. And there's a lot of things that sometimes I feel it's like, it always sounds really confusing to me. I'll be talking to somebody, but I could never explain it again. Like, they get it at the time, like, because you're sort of seeing stuff as people are talking, and it sort of makes complete sense at the time. But then I'd go away and I thought, I don't even know what I even said. Often I've forgotten all about it. But that's just real God moments, and that's really exciting. That's sort of where the rubber starts hitting the road for me.
Yeah, I think early on, if I think of the first two people who discipled me, one was a youth leader, and he wouldn't have been aware of how much he was affecting me, but probably for 4 or 5 years, he was my number one go-to person. Now, he probably didn't even know that. You know, I was just another annoying kid that ran around his feet and got in his way. But, and that's the interesting thing even about discipling people. Sometimes, as both of you said, you've got no idea what kind of impact you are actually making just by being you and just by reaching out, being available. Because I think being available is a massive thing. The biggest reason I think that people aren't being more intentional about discipling others is because we live in a world where we're too busy doing other things and we don't prioritise it. You know, we kind of think, I've got a job and I've got a house and I've got a car and a wife and 6 kids. Why do I want to meet with anyone else? You know, I mean, we can start thinking like that, can't we? But if it's a priority, and you think, man, this is what we're called to do, it just shifts our space. So the first, I mean, I discipled nobody and probably at all for my first, and you wouldn't want to be discipled by me, probably until I got to about 40. That's actually not a joke. That's actually true. Because I think I had another guy when I was in Wellington. I lived in Wellington for, I'll say 6 years, that'll do, around there. And there was a guy at the church that we went to there who was, again, so influential in just me growing and developing. So that was me being discipled. Was just massive, the little bits of input and going for advice and asking what I should do in certain situations and actually submitting myself to them. And I think that's the big thing. No point in being discipled by someone if you're not going to submit yourself to them. You know, you can go in and say, you know, I'll take your advice maybe or probably not. You know, I mean, we actually have to go in with that position of humility and wanting to learn. But then later on, discipling people or mentoring or whatever you might call it, I learn way more. I, again, being genuine about this, I learn way more than anybody that I'm talking to. There's just so much that I learn by talking to people about how people are growing in Christ, about what works and what doesn't, what advice to give, what advice not to give, trying to hear what God is saying. You know, you have those moments where you know that God has spoken. So exciting. Mm. I'm just like, woohoo, that is so cool. And not because you've done anything, but just that God's, you know, ministered to somebody in that situation. And that just grows you. It grows your faith. So I think the whole process is just growth, growth, growth.
Yeah, and I think for, like, here's my own story. I feel like, a lot of, you know, we can be nervous about, potentially the harder conversations in discipleship and sort of being a bit, oh, no, I don't want to go through that. But, like, thinking back over my time in Palmy and all the conversations I've had with the mentors, there's like one coffee catch-up I remember the most, and it was the hardest conversation out of all of them. And at the start of the conversation, we ordered our coffee, we sat down, and the start of the conversation was, you know, I've noticed these flaws in your character. And that was that, and we went from there. And it was real intense, and I was like, whoa, bigger. But then, like, afterwards and reflecting on it and, you know, journeying with them through that, I was like, why didn't someone tell me this earlier? That'd have been so much cooler. And ever since then, you know, that's always just stuck with me as being one of those, might not have been pleasant in the present, but one of those God moments where, they saw things that I didn't say, you know, explicitly, like, oh, I think this is a problem with me. It was really redemptive in that sense, and it was quite transformative. And so even the tougher end of the spectrum can be very redemptive, used by God to, you know, refine us, as Isaac Lee said. Sanctifying. Yeah, the positive way of saying something's hard. An encouragement to not be scared of, you know, those tougher moments. Or even, I remember catching up with Daniel once, and he was like, you know, what's up, da-da-da. And then, like, the whole time I was like, oh, I should tell him. I've just been an absolute screw-up. And then and I was like, oh, he's going to, like, bring the wrath of God down upon me and all that. You know, you hype it up in your head. You're like, oh, dang, I'm going to confess these sins and I'm going to look like such an idiot and da-da-da-da-da. And then the opposite happens, you know, and then, you know, he presents the gospel and then you're greatly encouraged and you're equipped to deal with it. And, yeah, that was another quite a redemptive moment. And so, even those times that we fret about are points where God, you know, really, really does a work.
But I think that's one of the big things. If you're going to be discipled or want to be discipled by somebody, expect some hits. Don't go into it thinking, I only want the good side of this. You know, as soon as they say something that annoys me, I'm out of here. Because again, that's often our attitude, isn't it? We're happy to, when someone's saying, man, you did really well at that, that was great, I've seen you developing here. But as soon as they start pointing out character flaws, we're like, that church, that person, I'm out. You know, and we kind of snigger, but actually it's very true. Mm. Some people are so sensitive to you pointing out their faults that everybody can see. Everybody in the community can see it. Mm. It's pretty funny, really. But you name it, and it's like, there's like, look out. We actually have to grow up and be able to take that. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, but the reason if you are with this person and being discipled by this person, you've obviously chosen that person for a reason. Presumably, you believe that they do care about you, love you, want your best. They're not doing it to be a pain in the neck. They actually want to see you grow. Mm. And so pointing out this stuff is part of the process that we have to actually embrace. And I think embracing God's discipline is something that we need to learn a lot more about. If we want to be Christ-like, then we've got a lot of rough edges to get off us. Mm-hmm. So that means that there's going to be some discipline. So get used to it.
I think the other part of that is embracing God's healing as well. You know, I guess we've got to really, really believe that God can change us, because sometimes there's things that we go through that we just feel really stuck in and we just don't know how to get out, and it can be a continual momentous stuck. It's not, you know, other times it's one-off stuff, but counsellors and stuff, they're great, you know, they have their place, but I guess God is our creator. He's the one who formed us, who knows us intimately. He's journeyed with us in every place that we've been, everything that's hurt us or damaged us or that needs attending to and healing. And, you know, I guess as far as I'm concerned, he's the only one that can really get into those spaces and do it. And we have to believe that and persevere in those spaces with God and allow him in even when it is deep and it's hard. But that is where the healing and the transformation, that's really where it comes out of. And it's speaking the word, letting, you know, renewing of your mind. It's so many things, but really embracing that healing space in God as well.
Yeah, I guess that just brings out the importance of having, you know, identity rooted in the gospel. You know, being discipled and, you know, our flaws coming out and confessing our sins. You know, if our identity is somewhat based in our own righteousness, then it's going to hurt our pride, and we're going to be like, oh, pff, great. But if we genuinely, have our identity in the gospel, that yes, you know, I'm a total wretch, but then God, out of his own mercy, you know, looks at me as righteous in Christ, then, you know, when a father or a mother in the faith calls out something, it's like, well, I mean, God already knew that a long time ago, and he knows all the other stuff that you don't know about, and he loves you, and, you know, and you're still secure. And so, yeah, it brings out the importance of having our identity in Christ helps us, you know, to be disciples and be disciplers better. Because even as like a discipler, if you know your identity is in the gospel, then you know when someone, you know, screws up or whatever, you're like, well, this is not the be all, the end all, because, you know, Christ has covered that, and so you can help people journey through that from your own strength. I guess we'll do a final thoughts. Freelance, I guess.
Ooh, freestyle.
Freestyle. I guess you do what you want. You can freestyle rap your last thoughts if you feel like it. But I guess after that, if there's any questions, people can just throw it out, chuck a hand up or whatever. But otherwise, we'll just finish off with some closing thoughts. I mean, it being related to discipleship would be cool, but I mean, if you feel led by the Spirit, you know, you do it. So anyone can go. Closing thoughts.
Well, you just said something that prompted a great point about those that are discipling to find their identity in Christ. Like, if I am, by discipling others, if I'm doing that because it's meeting a need in me to be needed, I'm in big trouble, and you're in big trouble too. You know, we've got to be so secure in our own relationship with God that we're not discipling, because some people do. Some people like having people come to them, and, you know, this is kind of how they get their identity, and they feel good about that. You know, it's good to want to do it and to be available to do it, but we must not find our identity in that. Just, yeah, it's got to be firmly rooted in God.
If anyone's thinking, I don't need to be discipled, I'm cool on my own, you're wrong.
Nice summary right there.
Me and Nikita were kind of talking about this when I was eating dinner before we came, and we were created in the image of God, and God is triune. He's in relationship. We are created to be in community with each other, in community with God. And that's, yeah, it's part of who we are in our identity in Christ, that we don't do this walk alone. So, yeah, if you're thinking, oh, no, I'm all good, you're not. I just really encourage you, like, if someone's not popping into your head at the moment, like, pray about it. And even if there is somebody else that you trust, even if it's a friend that you can be like, hey, actually, it'd be cool to have someone to talk to. Yeah, pray for a name, talk to your friends. There's plenty of very wise and loving, caring people in this church that will, I'm sure, would be really great to walk with.
Yeah, and I think too, if you're not really sure where to start, like, you could just do something around, you know, a hobby or something that you do and start. You don't have to be full on, tell me all your problems. I don't know where I'm starting, but we'll give it a go, you know. I think, you know, there's, depending on where you're at in your walk with God and the people around you and how much you know, your maturity in God, how long you've been a Christian, that sort of thing. There's sort of things that you can do, and as you begin to intentionally build people around you in relationship with those others, then some of those questions just naturally happen. And I think don't be afraid to say, I've got no idea, you know, but I will find that out. I'll go and talk to somebody and get back to you. Or if you've got an issue that is in front of you that is really a bit big, it's fine to say, look, you know, can we talk with somebody else? You know, I feel a little bit out of my depth. I mean, that's part of the other side of... not thinking that you know it all and, you know, all of that. Just being really open and honest both ways, really. I mean, I think the rules for being a mentor and a mentee are pretty much the same. You know, there's not, you know, it's, we're all in this together.
Can I just say?
Yeah, go for it.
Don't expect, like, it to be this very formal, very spiritual thing that happens every single time. Because I think we kind of can overthink what it might look like. But sometimes it literally could just be you just sit and talk for an hour and it's got nothing to do with the Bible, but it's just talking about life. Or sometimes you might read scripture together or just pray the whole time. Or, yeah, it can look very different. So it's, I just like to say it's doing life together. Like, it can, depending on what's going on for you at the time, it can really change, like, what it means to look like to catch up with that person as well. Yeah.
Mm. Nice.